using the sign method, just like you did. So we're eager to hear what you have to share with us. Thanks.
Thanks, Carol, and thank you, Marina. I'm Colleen, and I'm a compulsive eater. And I'm grateful to be here to have this chance to share at this holiday booster. I've attended several over the years, and it just always comes at the right time. I've spoken a couple of times at past holiday boosters. I always consider it a privilege and not a chore. I go to the St. Mary's meeting, which is sponsoring this holiday booster, and it was part of it was my responsibility to get the abstinence speakers. And so, in addition to Marina, I thought I really want to get a chance to share, because this month is somewhat of a celebration for me. I've celebrated the last 32 holiday seasons abstinently. And if I'm willing, this week I will have an abstinence birthday of 33 years. The holiday season for me usually started around Halloween and ended around Valentine's Day. And I'll tell you what the holiday seasons were like before I found my current abstinence. I'm a binge eater and a restrictor in the disease. And I remember eating all the treats that came into the office that I worked in at the time. And these boxes and bags and treats would come in for an office of about 6 to 8 people. And I ate about 80% of them. And I would be miserable, of course. I would have so much sugar in my system. I would feel bloated. I would feel so obsessed and not be able to stop, even though I wanted to. Another thing around the holiday before abstinence, on January 1, I thought this would be a great day to start my abstinence. My abstinent date would be January 1 as of midnight, New Year. I thought it was easy to count that way. And then finding myself at 12:04 on January 1 in the middle of the night, stuffing sweets in my mouth and realizing, well, I won't be able to say January 1 of this year is my abstinent date. I remember putting on fake smiles at gatherings, pretending to listen to conversations and just not having my mind at all on the conversation or on what people were saying or what was happening besides what was on the dining room table on a platter. How could I get more of that? How could I get more of that and not let anybody else see me get more of that? And a piece of my story is that I never really showed in weight my compulsive eating. So in some ways, people would push things on me because I guess they felt like, let's fatten her up or something. But what I could tell you is that I was very ashamed of my behavior. And I didn't want anyone to know my dirty little secret about how much I would consume in secret. So that's a piece of what it was like. And coupling with the binge, the next day came the shame, the misery, the resolution. That's it. Never again. That's the last time. Never again until it was again. Now, these first few minutes of me sharing with you is one of the strategies I use to sustain my abstinence today. I need to remember the 100th bite, not the first few. I need to remember the misery, not the opiate effect of excess food or certain foods. There's a classic line in our pamphlet, before you take that first compulsive bite, don't for a second, and I'm paraphrasing here, but don't for a second remember the pleasure. And I believe that, because if I associate pleasure with certain foods or certain amounts of foods, then when I'm uncomfortable, I'll remember what was pleasurable. And that's a very slippery place for my mind to be. So that's my first strategy to get through the holidays, is to remember the pain of the disease once I take that first compulsive bite. The second strategy has to do with a really great line, and it actually comes from the Bible, I found out, but there's a line in the movie The Devil Wears Prada, gird your loins. And that to me means prepare. Because holidays are full of the F word, and I'm not talking the F bomb, I'm talking food and family. And I need to prepare. I was in the program a long time before I recognized that recovery is hard. It takes effort. It takes work. I thought of OA in my first few years as Alcoholics Anonymous Light. It was just about food. It wasn't about the more dangerous drugs like cocaine or alcohol or opiates. And I've been in OA 40 years now, and I am grateful in hindsight to know that at 21, to find a program to help me not kill myself with a very addictive drug of food, I am living a very full life today as a result of that. When I was 21, though, I thought, I've got this. I'm a good student. I'm smart. I know myself. I know nutrition. But every time I thought, I've got this, I was taking the step one in reverse, which was an admission of powerlessness and unmanageability. And see, holidays are harder because I think the sights and the smells and the excess that's expected in gatherings, at least in my own family gatherings, make them slippery places. And I'll tell you a story about one of the times that I really made it through a family gathering, and it wasn't around the holidays, it was kind of in the fall, and it happened mid-year in 1988. So I wasn't even a full year abstinent in my current abstinence, but it had to do with family and it had to do with setting boundaries and having it. It was hard. It was hard. It's probably the hardest thing I've done in abstinence. That year I was on a business trip. I went to Texas, and my grandmother and my aunt and my cousins all live in Texas. And I visited them. I extended my business trip a day, and they invited me to brunch. And I figured, well, there'd be some kind of food that I would be able to eat at brunch. But it turned out that it was I really needed to take care of myself with the meal that day. Because, and just as an aside, this branch of the family tree holds a lot of old baggage. And I won't go into that. But suffice it to say, there were people in that house that I had had old relationships with that were not healthy. So my grandmother, who was in her 90s at the time, had spent hours preparing me a dish, and it was sugary and it was beautiful, and she was very proud of it. And I remember as I faced that table and realized that she was just itching for me to eat this, that it was a very slippery place. And I thought, and I prayed, and I said, how am I going to do this, HP? And so this is what I said. I said, oh, Grandma, thank you so much for working this hard. That is beautiful. And I'm sure it is tasty. And I pulled out something that I've used over the years, and it's worked for food pushers. I said, Grandma, I've been diagnosed with hypoglycemia. And if I eat that, I'll get sick. And even though I appreciate all the hours that you spent in this, I need to take care of myself. Now, Grandma got teary and Grandma got disappointed. And in the past, I would have sought her approval and people pleased and put my own needs aside. And so she said, oh, well, you can certainly have a taste, you know, coming in with me with a spoon. And I became a broken record, like I heard in meetings to do. And I said, I really appreciate the effort that you made, and it's beautiful, and I'm sure it's delicious, but I'm not able to eat it. And I said it, I don't know how many times, but I said it regularly. And so a higher power did for me and gave me the words, what I couldn't do for myself. You see, what I was faced with was I knew I had to hurt my grandma's feelings, and I was willing to do it. I was willing to do it to protect something very precious, and that was abstinence. So when I left that house, I felt like I had conquered a mountain. I was ready to twirl and sing "The Hills Are Alive." Okay. I realized that I'd won a battle. I had prepared in a way, and I had really passed a really hard exam. And see, that's what holidays can be. So my second strategy to you, besides remember the pain, the second strategy is gird your loins, prepare, have sentences in mind for difficult situations. Sights and sounds and smells can trigger me. And I don't let my eyes linger too long on the treats. I don't let my olfactory senses get, you know, really into smells, because those kind of can be triggering for me too. One of our members talks about flirting and fondling with food. It's not the time to do that. That's slippery. And at work, I'm a teacher. Well, parents reward the teachers with all these treats. It's their thank you. It's their gift. And instead of feeling resentful, like, well, they could have tried to buy me something else than this, but instead of resenting that anymore, I just recycle the gifts to people who can use it without abusing it. That's how higher power teaches me to handle situations that used to baffle me too. And what I've learned is that most people don't really care. My grandma really cared at that brunch. Most people don't care what I eat or what I don't eat, and other people's opinions are none of my business anyway. But difficult times like the holidays require preparation and protecting a gift, which is my abstinence. The third strategy, and we talk a lot about this in OA, and OA has taught me so much about this, is that holidays are more than food. Okay. I remember a fellow OA member talking about this early on in my abstinence when she said that just get into the conversations. Well, in my family, conversations are a lot about food at the holidays. So I have to find conversations that kind of fill me, because I thought, what does she mean, the conversations? Well, I have found that bringing my body to certain things other than the food, like Marina was talking about, I think that's a beautiful thing to do. Find something other than food. And I know if you come from a real foodie family, it may take some creativity. But what I find is that I try and focus on a tree, the Christmas tree, or some kind of decoration. And I try and breathe in with my senses how beautiful that creation is, how artistic it is, how much thought and effort went into that. I try and smell pine and wood smoke. I listen to lovely holiday music. I try and fill my senses in a way that the pleasure buds in my mouth used to. I have always believed this. I think when you take something out of your life, you need to replace it with something. So if I'm taking out my binge foods, then I need to replace it. And around the holidays, what I have found is sensory-wise, I can fill my senses with sights and sounds and smells that fill me up, fill up some part of me that food never could. So that's my third strategy. More to holidays than the food, and can come sensually too. I just want to share, Carol, do I have about five left, or is two left? Oh, then it's going to be quick. Abstinence is my primary purpose. The primary purpose of OA is to carry the message, and abstinence is my primary purpose so that I can share it with you. Nothing's more important in my life. I protect it like a mama bear, and that requires more effort in the holiday season. When I didn't make abstinence the most important thing in my life without exception, I did not stay abstinent, plain and simple. Failing to enlarge my spiritual life inevitably led to turning to food to fill the emptiness. I wish everybody the gift of abstinence, whether you are sustaining and maintaining it, whether you are getting it back, whether you might experience it for the first time. In a few days, I hope to celebrate 33 years of abstinence. And I'll tell you one thing more to close. Okay, so, and this is really a character defect of mine, but in the past, when people wore these little Santa hats to things like special events, I would judge them. I would say, that is the silliest, stupidest thing I've heard. For me to sit in front of you, decorating myself, means I have changed. The woman that I was will binge again, but gratefully, and I'm so thankful that I am a different woman today who can abstain, who can protect herself, who can celebrate abstinence, and who can share that experience, strength, and hope with you today. And with that, I'll pass and thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Colleen.